Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, happy Wednesday night. Thank you for tuning in with us for the after show for Home Before Dark on Apple Plus. Tonight, we are discussing episodes 8 and 9. As always, we have a lot to talk about. I'm LaToya Blakely, your host, and I'm joined by my amazing co-host. I'm like, if I can get that word out.
Words are hard.
Chantel De La Gila, who is, and I probably got that wrong too today. Say it for me, Chantel.
Chantel De La Aguila, but it's okay. I still love you, LaToya. Don't even
worry about it. Love you too. investigative journalism pro. Happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And then we also have Kelsey Myers, who is a Washington native. That is to be noted because Home Before Dark takes place in Washington, and she is a true crime fanatic. So welcome back.
Dang right I am. Hi. So happy to be here.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about Hildy getting replaced in the investigation by her dad, the sheriff race in Erie Harbor, which has taken an unexpected turn. And then also, who is Margaret Miller? Along with our main topics, we have news and gossip, special segment, and predictions. So make sure you stay tuned throughout the entire episode. So let's jump right in. Kelsey, overall thoughts?
Oh, I love this show, you guys. We're all obsessed. It's so good. It's so hard to not watch the finale. I'm very excited. I might have to watch it tonight and then again on Friday. But this show, every time I watch it, it blows my mind. I was not expecting. I thought that Hildy was going to have or try and finagle her way into sheriff. I love that she brought Tripp in there. Frank still sucks. You guys called that. I was giving him a little bit more of like, oh, he's okay. He still sucks. Not surprised. Oh, they're just so good. There's so much to talk about. I loved both episodes. I can't wait to watch the finale.
I cannot agree more with you. Right? I might have to watch it tonight and then rewatch it on Friday because I am obsessed. I mean, so much going on within these two episodes. First of all, women empowerment, love it. Love that the directors and producers, like, they just got so involved in doing that and showcasing that. And you definitely see that with Tripp deciding to run for sheriff. God, I was like, heck yeah, girl, you go. So and Hildy, number one supporter right behind her. Oh, yeah. You know, the whole Frank thing, yeah, I saw it coming. I was like, yeah.
You guys did.
He hasn't had his moment to shine yet. It's coming. I believe in Frank. Okay. I'm there for you. It's coming. It just hasn't happened yet. But you know what, though? You know who did get a second chance? Who came back around? Mr. Ethan.
Were you so mad?
I wasn't mad. But before we completely break down the episode, I have to say that episode 8 was probably my favorite. Pop in the nursing home.
I was crying.
It was so good.
Such a sweet moment.
So y'all, let's jump in. Hildy kind of gets replaced, right?
Yeah.
So mom and dad, especially dad, is upset with Hildy after she disappeared with Sam. And so episode 8 is
the I'm upset with her.
Right? It starts the morning after Hildy has disappeared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sam comes in and he grounds Hildy and he tells her no more writing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of takes over with the jacket and the DNA and still the medical records. What did you all think about how involved he got in episode 8 and 9?
I mean, I was happy for it, to be honest with you, because he was finally getting back to his roots. I think, you know, even though, yes, he put a halt on Hildy, and I don't think that that was very fair, I don't think Hildy minded all too much, just because her mom, Bridget, even had mentioned it, like, you know, Hildy's afraid for you. Like, she, you know, you're not your old self. And so him taking part in this and actually getting back in his role and doing some investigative journalism, I was happy about it. I didn't have a problem. He also has a different perspective. He knew Richie. He's from that town. So why not get another pair of eyes on this case, you know? And I mean, look, he had a connection with the whole jacket and was able to use that the FBI, you know, agent, and ended up turning out to benefit in the end. So I was happy. I was very happy. You know,
I was not hold you sit back. I was happy too. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I like to, I think that, I mean, this is why we have Bridget. You have the yin and the yang in their relationship. She immediately got in there and was like, okay, great. So your dad's grounding you without talking to me about it. So you can come to court with me. That's going to be your first little grounding moment. And then Matt, of course, is mad. And she's like, well, bummer, we should have talked about it. And I was like, yes, queen. I loved it. I was like, that's my girl. So I think that I was glad also that he is getting more involved, but then you see he still is like taking Hildy with him. I mean, when they went on the road trip, so she's not totally out. She's still in. He needs her.
Yeah.
It's turned into very much so a family affair, except for Izzy. Izzy's like the only one who's not really helping out with the case or the investigation of people involved. Yeah. But even when mom was like, are you hiring writers, or like, can you hire a writer?
That was so cute.
It was so cute. And when Hildy was like, I can't pay you. And she's like, no, but like, I really
seriously, mom, I can't pay you.
So that was like one of my favorite moments. Yeah. And I agree. I'm glad that Matt is getting involved. I feel like he's been running. So whatever happened in New York with Miriam and this missing child kind of sent him on a spiral that ended up in his life, as he knew it, collapsing. And so I think that it's time for him to really face what happened with Richie, which will also make him face what happened in New York. And he hopefully will find his way through this and can, you know, be better than even he was before. So, and yeah, Hildy's never far from, right? Never far from the investigation. And she needed the break because she found something else to do that was really important with that.
Very. Exactly. And that's why I was happy, because, you know, she could focus her energy on something else that was just as important. Yes. You know, we got to get rid of Sheriff somehow. And unfortunately, we thought we could do that with Frank Jr. And that's just not going to happen. So why not pick like the next best? Well, actually, this is the first best thing that they should have went with Trip in the first place. But yeah, no, I was like, it was the perfect moment for her, you know, because right after her incident with them doing the search party, she was for sure, her career was over. That was it. And it ended up being a really good turnaround for her, where now it's like this higher role, this higher status. And I mean, I'm Team Trip. I'm like, girl, you got my vote.
Well, before we delve all the way into that, I just want to take a moment to thank our viewers and our listeners for tuning in. We could not do this without you. I know that me and Chantel and Kelsey love coming here and talking about Home Before Dark and the other shows that we get to be a part of. And we could not do it without you. So please keep coming back. Leave us comments. We like to read them. Rate us. 5 stars, thumbs up, all of those good things. So thank you for tuning in. Chantel, before we jump all the way in into the Sheriff's race, let's go back to Ethan, because I know you want to talk about him. Redeemed himself. I wouldn't say he's fully redeemed, nor would I say that Izzy is fully back with him.
True. She's a smart girl.
She is. And like I said, I mean, I give her props not running back to him, because, you know, he was wrong. He was very wrong. Yeah. He should have been there for her, because right now you could tell with the whole family dynamic, everybody's sort of focused on Hildy, and, you know, Izzy's in the background and Izzy's having to take care of herself, and she's going through struggles in school. You know, she's being bullied and she's not fitting in. She's missing home. So it was really nice to see that moment of, you know, Izzy again being that tough girl, standing up for herself and being like, look, you were wrong. And no, I don't agree with you. And I'm mad at you. And you should know why I'm mad. And, you know, like I said, boys will be boys. And they just take a long time to mature. And that clearly showed that he is not mature yet. Ethan is not mature. But you know what, though? I think he did somewhat redeem himself by helping out Hildy and her friend.
Oh yeah.
Getting those signatures, because that was super important. It, you know, there was a deadline, it was a crunch, they got it, they had to get it done. And you know, he didn't have to, but he did it. And, and you know, like I said, like you said, LaToya, he's not forgiven. Izzy hasn't forgiven him completely, but you know, she's still got mad love for him. And I think it's cute. And I think it's good for her. Yeah, it's good for her because it keeps her mind off of the negativity and the struggles of school.
True.
You know, at least she has someone in her corner. So
I like to, when she and Matt are able to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, they have their little heart to heart in the car. And she's like, what do you do if someone that you like is not being there for you? Like, do you just kind of let it go? She asks him about Kim, and their old relationship. He's like, you have to tell people. I'm over here. I'm like, I'm taking notes. I'm like, okay.
I wrote that. It down.
Right? Yeah, right? Right?
No, me too.
Yes.
But it's so true. It's so true. And it's like, it doesn't matter what age. And I think that was kind of his point. It's like, you can be young. You can be old. I mean, he was even like, I mean, mom and I still go through this. We have to talk about it. And it was a cute parallel between he and Bridget and their current fight and situation, and then she and Ethan. And I loved that moment.
And I have to give Matt credit. Like, he really does show up for Hildy. Well, everyone, really. I mean, people have had some tension lately.
Yeah.
But he shows up, and we see so many moments of him with the girls, especially with him and Lizzie. He takes a lot of time, and he spends a lot of one-on-one time with Lizzie, just checking in with her. And so I really like that.
Me too.
And Ethan is cute. He's a cute kid.
He's okay. He's all right.
He does, you know, he may be
a
little
skater slow. Boy.
A little late to the party.
At yeah. Again, I still think he should get his hair, but it's not about that.
Those are the least of his worries.
Least of his worries.
Right now, figure out Izzy. Read her, you know, without her having to tell you where you're wrong.
But I agree. The signatures, that was a redemption.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was nice of him to help. Kind of help.
Kind of. Yeah. Half help.
Right. Exactly.
But well, he did somewhat apologize too. So
that's true.
You know.
Sure.
She's like, no.
So that takes us to Frank. Let's move on from Ethan, who's like kind of disappointing, to Frank, who is completely disappointing.
I was shocked. Did you guys think he was gonna lie?
I wasn't sure, but I was hoping he wouldn't. I was like, there's no way he's gonna lie after Tripp has like gotten on that stand.
When he threw her under the bus, I was about to throw up. I was like going to throw something at my screen. I was so pissed. I was so livid. How awful.
See, I wasn't sure.
I was shocked, actually, to be honest, when he threw her under the bus. I really was. I was like, oh, this is, he's going to redeem himself? No.
Well, I thought he would redeem himself, and not solely for Tripp and stuff like that, but for Sam. This was his moment to help Sam. He talked about how he felt bad back when he was a kid, and he wished he could go back and he'd change what he'd say, you know, what he would have said. And then this was his moment. He could have done that, you know, by helping Sam, and he didn't. He fell back in his little hole where he's afraid of daddy. I don't know why. I mean, daddy's not going to spank you. You're not living under his, you're not living under his house anymore. And he just does everyone dirty. He's just selfish. It's selfish of him.
And
that made me really mad. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what?
And a coward.
Oh, and a coward. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, we really got to see just how persistent and relentless his dad is. So dad shows up before the hearing and basically tells him, do what I told you to do, lie, everything is taken care of. And then even at the hearing, he
so slimy
meets him in the bathroom, right? And he's still like pushing his agenda. And then at the end, when he tells him, you've proven yourself to me, like I'm stepping down and the race is yours. I was like, what exactly did he prove? That he's a liar, that he's a coward, that he's willing to do whatever you tell him to do.
That he can be manipulated. That's what it is. That's what he proved to dad. I can be manipulated. So even if you step down and I take your spot, don't worry.
You'll still your puppeteer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what he proved to the sheriff.
It was
It was snaky.
It was snaky. And the way that they showed it, so the parallel between him now and then him when he was a child testifying, I was like, history repeats itself 31 years later.
It was nasty. It made me so mad.
I still think, well, you know what? I'll save that till the end, but let's go on.
I just don't want anything positive to happen for him. I mean, even like later on when he's checking in, you know, I mean, again, later, but checking in with Kim, I'm like, no, go away. No one cares about you. You suck. Like, I'm so mad.
I know. And Hildy sitting in the gallery, right? She was so just.
Well, her and her mom and Bridget.
I know.
Yeah.
They're like, are you kidding me? I have a confession. From my, like, from Sam saying what you did. You have multiple people in this room saying what you did, what Trip just, you know, just said. And you're going to sit there and lie and deny all of it. And then it kills me because the judge is just like, okay. You know, the DA is just like, okay, he keeps his job. Like, it doesn't matter. The town's corrupt. It's a corrupt town.
Which then goes into the piece that Bridget wrote about how corrupt it was. She said she spent all these years in New York practicing and she'd never seen a fraction of this level of corruption in the politics. And so that's crazy, wild. But seeing this is what inspired Hildy to march into that, I'm assuming the clerk's office, and ask for paperwork to run for sheriff. And just her, Donnie, and Spoon, the entire process of like getting the signatures and registering Trip. What did you all think about all of it?
I loved it. I think you said it at the senior citizen, that moment, that scene, that has been one of my favorite scenes like thus far. I thought that was so cute. It just proves how good of a heart and how pure of a heart Hildy has. I mean, even Matt's been like, hey, how do you connect with Pop-Up? How are you doing this? And she's like, just don't correct him. I mean, just listen to him. And when they dance, I was like, you guys are brilliant for going to the senior home and getting these signatures, because clearly the older people lounge or the high school 18 and older lounge didn't work out for you guys. But you're brilliant. And B, you guys just have the best, purest hearts. I love that. I love that.
I love that moment as well, because I felt like when Papa and Hildy were dancing, you know, we see Sylvester, he has this condition where he's not quite sure the time frame, you know, whether it's past or present. And they're dancing in that moment, and you can tell at first he's not quite sure who Hildy, I feel like he's not quite sure who Hildy is. He doesn't really have much of a memory with her. And then as soon as they start dancing together, he gets a flashback of her as a little girl. And you just see the smile on his face. And honestly, it brought me to tears a little, because I was like, that connection with her grandpa and her, I'm like, he's back, you know, for a moment, for just a small moment, he was able to remember his family, you know? So it was a beautiful, beautiful moment in that scene.
Which, this isn't really on topic, but what you said makes me think about when he's talking to Matt and he asks how his prom, and then he says, like, I don't want you to go to New York. I would be so lonely.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And he does it again. He says it when he before they go on their road trip. He says it again. Oh, yeah. It's just so good. I know. It makes your heart hurt.
I wonder if he was that vocal about Matt leaving 31 years ago.
I wonder that too. Well, they had that little flashback with Matt saying goodbye and the day when he was leaving. But I thought the same thing. I was like, is this Pop-Up like saying things he wish he would have said? Or, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. I'm curious.
So they get all of the signatures, and I like who the last signature was.
Is that not Fort? That was crazy. Ms. I know.
Carol Collins.
I loved it though.
It was good.
I think they did it on purpose.
Did
that on purpose.
As well as I loved when Hildy and Trip walk in to the clerk's office and hands in the completed paperwork. So, right, this lady was so like pessimistic, it seemed. Like she was not. And I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she was just like, who is this child and what is this? And right. then when it was brought back, she's thinking there's no way they could have actually gotten it. But when she hands them the futurist female button.
I know.
I love that. I was like, oh, you're so coy.
This show is just like so female driven and it's so amazing. And I love it so much. It just makes it that much better. It's so good.
It is really good. And I like that even the town, because I thought the town would be kind of standoffish to the idea of a new sheriff and then Trip, but supportive they are. And it seems like everybody for something new and fresh. And especially after Frank Sr. told Frank Jr., like, this is your legacy and your privilege. I know. So,
like, little do you know, that's going to end soon.
Nice librarian, Miss Collins.
Or is she really?
Well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. Right?
Part of Matt's involvement in this investigation, he's turned over this jacket to have it analyzed for DNA. Mm-hmm. And there is a hit. And that's how episode 8 ends. All we know is that there's a hit and there's a female.
Mm-hmm.
Well, episode 9 starts with the FBI going to a school and escorting librarian Collins out. And so we learned all of these things about her. When you first found out that she had gone to prison, what was your thought?
I was kind of confused. I mean, I was still like, wait, what? What's happening? I was shocked. I was not guessing. I didn't really know who to think. I thought it was going to be, I don't remember which one of you guessed it, but that we were going to meet someone new in this episode. So I thought when he said it was a female, that it was going to be someone completely new. So when Chris, his friend, the FBI agent, came and took the librarian, Kim's mom, I was like, wait, what is happening? So when they were going through and like investigating her and like asking her all these questions, I was like, wait, what is going on? So I was shocked. I was shocked by it all.
I knew there was going to be a twist in this. I knew that producers were going to throw in a curveball, and they did it so well with Kim's mom, because no one would ever suspect the librarian.
That's true.
You know, why would you think this little old lady who's got, you know, this perfect, somewhat life, perfect daughter, you know.
And her daughter was close with Richie.
Yeah. But I feel like it's always the people that are the closest that you got to keep an eye on. So,
and they alluded to that, I feel like, a little bit.
Because
they thought it was the family, but was it? Yeah, it was the mayor. It was Richie's dad who said they spent every night, that Richie ate dinner every night at their house. And so you're right. It is the people who are closest to you.
Yeah. Well, Matt, even for some time, kind of speculated maybe it was his parents, Richie's parents, you know, because Sam had mentioned bruises on Richie and how did he get it? And, you know, Kim was like, I would never suspect like his family, there'd be any type of abuse. So, and then for it to be, you know.
But I still didn't think that she was that involved. Like, even after she found out, right, that she had criminal history, I was like, okay, people make mistakes. Her explanation was logical. Yeah. She moved to a new town, changed her name, and started over.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
But when the FBI agent was like, you violated your parole by leaving the state, then I started to be like, okay, well, maybe Carol isn't.
My
aha moment was when Hildy woke Matt up that night and was like, Dad, like, you've left town before. You never changed your name. Mm-hmm. Like, why is Miss Collins doing this? You know, why did she do this? She had to have had a purpose. And that's where I was like, there you go. She has a reason. There's a reason why she left. And she did it, you know, unexpectedly.
And that was such a good line when Hildy said, Carol Collins may not have a motive, but maybe Margaret Miller does.
Margaret Miller, right? I know. Mm-hmm. That was brilliant.
And so when they got to Portland and started investigating, we learned about this brother, who now we finally know who has the center tattoo.
I was so wrong. I thought it was the mayor.
The mayor would be pretty rad if he had a center tattoo on him. Right? I don't know why.
It didn't even say center, right? It said saint.
No, no, no.
And no, it was like turned.
I think it did say sinner because Matt read it as saint, but the way that it was the calligraphy and stuff like that, you can misinterpret it. But when you flip your arm this way, it does say sinner.
Also, how did Hildy know that? I'm like, you are so brilliant beyond your years, child.
That girl's got picture memory. I mean, I'm telling you, she's freaking Sherlock Holmes, this kid. Yes. It's crazy.
But we don't know where brother is yet, right? Like
Ezekiel. No, we don't know where he's at.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but the science teacher, whose name I don't know. So if either of you know.
Ooh, I do. I do. I wrote it down.
I tried catching it.
Because it was, hold on, keep chatting, science teacher.
Yeah, it was something with an S. Mr. Sipley.
Sipley, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sipple.
So Mr. Sipple is able to place Zeke in Erie Harbor the day of the kidnapping. So we find out a lot, actually, at the very end of that episode. We find out who has the center tattoo. We find out that Carol is really Margaret. Her name, Ezekiel, that has a center tattoo, and Ezekiel was in Erie Harbor.
It's a lot to digest.
Kidnapping, right? And that he's the one that caused the injuries to Mr. Sipple and put him in his wheelchair.
Yeah, that was wild.
Right? And the fact that he didn't even know that until he saw the picture. He was like, I had no memory about that day until I saw this, and then it triggered it. And like, that was crazy.
I know. A whole lot got discovered in this this latest episode. But it kind of, it started to put the story together, to be honest with you.
It tied up loose ends.
But then introduced a lot of new questions for me. And I'm like you, Kelsey. I was like, I want to watch this finale.
It was so hard.
So I'm with you. I may just go ahead and watch it tonight. And like,
We're all going to binge.
Absolutely.
I need a nap. But if there's already been a season two ordered, then we're still not going to get the answer.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know what? We don't know that. We could get the answer and then season two could start off with a trial. We don't know. It could go anywhere at this point, to be honest with you. It really could. I think the director and the producers, they know that. That's why they've written it so well. There's my dog, Ellie. She's like, get me involved. She's obsessed with the show too. So we don't really know where it could go, to be honest with you.
Really close to predictions territory. So before we get there,
I know you're right.
And gossip.
Wait, you guys, the pop-up. We didn't talk about pop-up stroke.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. That's huge. Pop-up
stroke. I was not expecting that either.
No, and I was kind of like, okay, in my mind, I'm thinking, why did this happen? Like, what's the reasoning behind him having a stroke? You know, is something significant going to happen? And Matt can't be there to ask Papa about it. So I don't know. I kind of felt like they threw that in and it was kind of sudden and out of nowhere. So I don't know how to feel. I mean, I'm sad. I like Papa, you know, but I don't really know how to feel about that information. So
yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was unexpected and sudden. And I feel like whatever I will say next will fall back into predictions territory.
I know, we're so bad. Good.
Now we'll get there.
Right. So what do you have for us tonight? News and gossip.
So news and gossip. I found this really cute article from People Magazine. Again, they're so in tune with the show and I love it. And one of the reporters decided to interview Brooklyn Prince and just kind of asked her, you know, what did you learn from this show? And how did it inspire you, this story, Hildy's story? And she just said, like, she was so inspired by Hildy because at a very young age, she knew she wanted to be a director. So hearing Hildy's story, this really made her want to get up and get out there and go and do it. And she was like, I felt like so empowered to become a director.
And, like, can you just invite her back in the conversation?
For real.
I'm trying, but she's like so far away. I'm so sorry.
Ellie, she wants to have her last word.
But I know, seriously, I'll bring her in the very end, I promise. But she said she did, what she learned from this episode that she didn't quite know before, I'm so sorry, guys, was that you know, she wasn't really aware of child abuse, like in the home, and racism, which I thought was really surprising. She goes, she grew up mom and dad being so great, such great parents. And, you know, that just wasn't in her household. So for her to read this script and to really see like these characters go through that, was pretty shocking for her. And she was like, she was, it was a really sad moment for me, and it really hit me hard. And then little side note, they went off and they talked about her latest film that she's in, The One and Only Ivan. It's a cartoon film that has a bunch of huge characters, huge actors in it. Angelina Jolie is one of them. And she decided to share a story of her and Angelina Jolie, which I thought was super cute. I guess the film is about elephants. So she had asked Angelina if she could purchase a elephant onesie, and the two of them did. And so there was a cute photo. If you check out Brooklyn's Instagram, of her wearing her elephant onesie, I thought it was adorable. And she said she like really had a great connection with Angelina on set, and also Sam Rockwell. Oh, then you can check it out right there. And also Sam Rockwell, she was like, he was so much fun. He actually lassoed me in on set. So I was just like,
cute.
I can't imagine like working with her. I feel like I would have so much fun. Like, she's just amazing, this little girl. She really is.
I love that.
That is
also good. I love that Wade's got a virtual tour of your room.
I'm so sorry, guys.
I love it.
That will never happen again.
I loved
I
it.
Promise. But hey, I loved it. You know, so happens when you go live from home.
Do you know where Brooklyn is from?
I don't know, actually. I do not know where she's from originally.
I was just wondering.
Should I look it up?
Right? Like, I can find out. Let's find out.
I'll look it up while Kelsey brings us our special segment.
Cute. Perfect. I have one that I felt was so fitting, since they took their little trip to Portland, right? And Margaret was from Portland. So a 6-year-old from Portland, this all happened in Portland, was watching the evening news late in 2016 when he saw a story about a stolen bike. The owner was very distressed that his only mode of transportation was missing, because everyone in Portland just rides their bikes. So sometime later, the boy spotted the bike while he was out with his parents, and he told them, and they phoned in the tip to the police, who matched the serial number and eventually arrested the alleged thief. 6 years old. How do you remember that?
That bike was important to him, and he wanted it back.
He was triggered. He was like, no one messes with the bike. Isn't that wild, though?
That's crazy.
I know. That so cute.
I am telling you, these stories, I'm all for these kids, these children, but you blow my mind every time we talk about this, Kelsey. You really do.
I know. I love it. So I love
crazy.
It.
For sure. And Brooklyn's from Florida. I found the answer, which makes sense. I think her first was the Florida Project.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah. Which I still need to watch.
It's good. It's on Amazon. Check it out.
Oh,
predictions. I mean, there's so many things that you can predict. I'm going to ask a specific question.
And now, you're after Buzz
what
TV.
What do you think is going to happen to Pop Pop?
I think he will. Oh my God. I want him to live. I actually think he's going to not make it. But I think he's going to give us some really like vital information before he does. Like he and Matt are going to have one last kind of like, they're going to be happy and they're going to reconnect. And I think he's going to tell him something that's going to kind of be a missing piece to this whole puzzle. That's what I think.
Okay. I like it.
I like it too. And I'm like, I feel like I'm right there with you. I feel like, you know, right before he kind of takes his last breath, he's probably going to say like, I'm proud of you, Matt. And he's going to say, I love you. And it's going to be a really touching moment and may share some vital information. Actually, you know, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to try to change mine up with yours a little bit. just because I want to make it somewhat different. I don't think he's going to share any more information about Richie and the case or anything like that. I think that he's just, him and Matt are going to find that final moment of forgiveness. And he's going to speak his piece and then he's going to go.
I guess it's just the like optimistic side of me. I want him to
go, girl.
I want him to be okay and to come home. I do think there was something, I don't know if you all remember, but like Matt was hesitant to touch his dad when his dad was in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And when Hildy came in, she wasn't. She went in, she touched him, she kissed him. And I feel like they made a big deal out of showing that Matt didn't do that and Hildy did do that. So I do wonder and think that there may be something in the future about that, like about the physical contact and maybe the power of contact. And maybe it will be the contact that kind of brings Pop-Pop back around.
Because I felt I like that. I felt like when Hildy touched him, they showed his heart, like something changed on the monitor, right? A little bit. I like that.
Yeah.
I do. I like that too.
What do you think is going to happen with Izzy and Ethan?
Ooh.
Oh, Izzy and Ethan. I think she's going to forgive him. And I think he's going to screw up again. But this time he's going to realize he messed up and he's going to apologize. And Izzy is going to say, you know what? Let's just be friends. Oh, ooh. Didn't see that one coming, did ya?
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So, hey.
I feel like he's going to become maybe a bigger piece of this puzzle. And now that they've kind of gone through there, his form of apology, I feel like he's going to kind of come in and help them with Trip and getting her to being sheriff. I think he's going to play a bigger role in that and that they will be together. That's what I think.
Okay. I think that he's realized that he's been making some mistakes and that he wants Izzy and he wants this to work out. And so I think that he's going to be a lot more aware of what he's doing and that they will be together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we get to like the biggest prediction? Yep. Like I'm at the edge of my seat.
I know. One more. Who's gonna win the sheriff's race?
Oh, Trip.
100%.
Hands down. And you know what? I think what's also gonna help her is I think Frank's gonna back out at the last minute and then he's gonna support her.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be something like that too. There's gonna be some sort of like something has to happen. It's not gonna be that easy for her to win.
Yeah. Okay. I can get down with that. I don't think I have anything different. And the biggest prediction of all, who took Richie?
Okay. Do you want to hear my prediction?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've been waiting since like the early morning hours to talk about this. Okay. So I think it was Carol, Margaret, whatever you want to call her. I don't know. Whatever you want to call her. Kim's mom and Ezekiel. I think both of them were in the van. Carol's the driver. Ezekiel's the one who grabbed him. That's why they can't find the voice, the similar voice, because he's not from that town. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason being why they took Richie was because they wanted to use him as ransom because they were having money problems as a family. Mm-hmm. And then things ended up going sour and Ezekiel killed Richie. And that is why Carol said, I never hurt Richie.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I kind of agree,
but I want to be a little bit different. So I don't think Richie's dead. Ooh. That's my point. I think it was both of them as well. Part of me feels like there was a third person involved. I think that Margaret Carroll was driving. Ezekiel was definitely there. I almost just feel like it's too easy that it would just be the two of them. But I don't know who else it would be. Yeah. And my guess is way off with the mayor and the sinner tattoo. But my big thing is I still think Richie's alive. I don't know. Because she was adamant about not killing him. And then I'm like, I don't know where he is, but I don't think he's dead.
Interesting. Chantel, I have one question. But what about the house that Margaret had and left to the niece? So if there was like a big issue with money, I'm like, how did you get this house and how are you able to just leave it to them?
I don't know. I feel like she's like before she even left, because she's involved in crime, she probably had done this before with her brother back in Oregon. And like,
had a kidnapper ring.
she did something and held someone for ransom or something like that. And someone gave her a whole chunk of money and she was able to put it down on the house. And then the money ran out and she was like, I got to bounce. And so She went and found
another place. They were stealing cars. So they were in that car, like, thief race. So they probably had money from that, right?
Okay. You know, I can't connect the two. I'm sorry. But you know what? Okay. I'm just going to still stick with my theory, no, okay?
It's a really good theory.
I think it's a good theory.
Yeah.
Someone had mentioned holding someone for ransom in the show. I can't remember who said it, but someone did. So I think you're on there.
And I know that they said that this, I think they said that, like, the Richie situation is just like a small piece in a bigger puzzle. I think that there are going to be lots of people involved in some way.
I definitely
think that Margaret and her brother took Richie, kidnapped him. And even at the end, when Carol is like not okay with her mom, and she almost looks afraid of her.
And Kim. Kim,
afraid of her mom. And she said to her, it always troubled me that night I'd been down that road so many times and that jacket was not there. And you're the one that saw it, and you saw it like you knew it was there, and like you needed it to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And when her mom's like, let's just move somewhere and start over, I know how to start over.
And Kim was like, no, mom.
I was going to say, that wasn't Carol speaking. That was Margaret.
That was Margaret. Right? Right.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that Margaret and Zeke were involved. I'm going to say that Richie is dead just because I don't know where he would be all of this time. But I do think that it's a bigger story and that there are even more people involved.
I think so too. Oof, I can't wait. I'm seriously going to watch it. I'll text you guys.
I have so much work I need to do tonight, but I'm like, I'm probably going to watch because I don't think I can wait.
I don't think I can wait. But then, you know, I feel like it's going to kill us too. Cause if we don't wait until Friday, we're going to want to talk about it. And then we have to sit an entire day, you know, day and a half until we can talk about the finale.
That's so true.
So it's like, do we want to put ourselves through that torture?
I think I may.
But anyway. I might do.
Y'all, as always, it's been such a great show.
So fun.
Thanks for joining me. Please tell our viewers and listeners where they can find you.
I am Kelsmeyer 2 on all social media. And I'm also starting a new show on Monday called Run that's on HBO. So we're on at 4:00 on Monday, which I'm very excited about. So obviously everyone watch us on Friday first, but then on Monday.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Chantel D. That's Shyntel D. I'm also on another show, Dispatches from Elsewhere, which you can catch Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. here on AfterBuzz. Definitely tune in. We have 3 more episodes left for that show, and it's getting really good. So watch us here Friday, and then tune in, you know, the following week.
And I'm Latoya Blakely. You can find me on Instagram at Latoya.Blakely, on Twitter at Blakely Latoya. Do join us on Friday. We're discussing the finale. I'm sure there are going to be so many things to talk about, lots of twists and turns. And we can see who was right, if any of us were right. I wouldn't be surprised if we were all wrong.
I agree.
So thanks for joining us. Until next time, have a good
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.